Lecture 21, Socrates on Trial.
Welcome back to our 21st lecture now in the series on Greek civilization. In our last two lectures, we've been looking at the cataclysmic events which affected the Greek world at the end of the 5th century, when between 431 and 404 BC, the Athenians were embroiled in a disastrous war with the Spartans, the Peloponnesian War. And we spent a good deal of time in those lectures talking about Thucydides and the way in which he saw in these events a story which would illustrate both general tendencies in human history and also a story which would explain the downfall of Athens by looking back at the Athenians and their own character. Their daring, the quality which won them their empire, would eventually lose them their empire as well. We pointed out that Thucydides' work breaks off before the war actually finishes. We're lucky that his work was continued by a historian in the next generation, Xenophon, so that we know the details of the last stages of the war. The war finally came to an end in 404 BC after the Spartans had made the decision that many would say they should have made 30 years earlier, namely to build a navy and to take the war from the land onto the sea, where the Athenians had always been more powerful. And so it is in the last stages of the war we find, actually, Spartan fleets in the Aegean, in that sphere of influence, which up until the end of the 5th century had been exclusively an Athenian sphere of influence. And furthermore, we find the Spartans also making alliances with the Persians, receiving Persian gold, in order to win over the states of the Aegean away from the Athenian alliance, the Delian League, and to win their support so that finally, after a succession of battles in the middle of the last decade of the 5th century, the Athenians were decisively defeated by the Spartans, and a Spartan fleet under Lysander sailed triumphantly into the Piraeus, says Xenophon, accompanied by the sounds of flutes, celebrating the freedom of the Greeks. Now, this war would, of course, mark an epoch. It was the end of Athenian power and the glory of the 5th century. But it is, in a way, possible to overemphasize the long-term effects of this defeat because, remarkably, as we'll see in subsequent lectures, Athenian power rebounded quite vigorously in the course of the 4th century. Nevertheless, it was a war that had a profound effect on the Athenians themselves, and I'm going to be talking somewhat about that today as I try to explain the conditions under which Socrates was put on trial. What's the connection? Well, first of all, we're going to have to talk about the trends in Greek philosophy in the 6th and the 5th century to try to understand what the trends are that are represented by the career of Socrates. But I'm going to be suggesting towards the end of the lecture that the best way of understanding the trial of Socrates, surely the most celebrated trial of a philosopher or thinker in Western history, is to be understood in terms of the specific aftermath of the Peloponnesian War, a time when the democracy was severely threatened. It was, in fact, disbanded for a period, a time when Athens lapsed into civil war for a few months, and so a time of great frustration and anxiety. And I'll be suggesting that Socrates, in his single figure, in fact, drew to him all those anxieties, and that his trial represents the kind of purging of these anxieties created by the failure of Athens in the Peloponnesian War and its aftermath. So that, in a sense, his trial is not really a trial about freedom of speech, as it's sometimes been imagined, but rather a trial about how a society copes with its failure in a major war, the Peloponnesian War. I'm leaping ahead by raising those issues. Let's go back and talk about the traditions of Greek philosophy so that we can chart where Socrates comes from, intellectually speaking. Philosophy is certainly one of the areas in which we, in the Western tradition, feel a strong connection to the Greeks, and it would be certainly hard to deny that there is a real connection tying us to them. It really goes back to the 6th century, when Greek thinking was revolutionized by a group of remarkable men, nearly all of whom came from Ionia, that western coast of Asia Minor, the area that had been populated by Greek cities from as early as about 1000 or 900 BC. And so this movement is often referred to as the Ionian Enlightenment or the Ionian Revolution. And because all of the philosophers, in simple chronological terms, lived before Socrates, these philosophers are also referred to often as the pre-Socratics.